Welcome to the Motley Fool Radio Show. I'm David Gardner, broadcasting from Fool Global Headquarters here in Alexandria, Virginia, here each week to talk about the motley world of money and investing. On today's show, we'll talk to Barry Minkow, former felon turned fraud buster. Barry was on the show a couple of years ago, and he's in the Wall Street Rogues Gallery for a $300 million carpet cleaning scam that netted him 8 years in prison. We'll get his thoughts today on some current scams. He's in the business of busting them. Plus, a woman who makes rocks for a living. And your phone calls. But we begin this week with fun. As in F-U-N, the ticker symbol for the publicly traded company Cedar Fair. Cedar Fair operates 5 water parks and 7 amusement parks, including Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio, Knott's Berry Farm near Los Angeles, and Worlds of Fun in Kansas City, Missouri. And we should add that Cedar Fair, the stock, has been recommended by Matthew Emmert, the author of the Motley Fool Income Investor newsletter. Dick Kinzel is the president, chairman, and CEO of Cedar Fair. He joins us from Cedar Fair corporate headquarters in Sandusky, Ohio. Dick Kinzel, welcome back to the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Thanks, Dave. It's good to be here.
Dick, Cedar Fair just reported third quarter earnings. You had a 1% uptick in attendance with a 2% hike in per capita guest spending. What's the good news, and is there any challenging news?
Well, I think the good news is we came through these times a little bit better than what we certainly had hoped for in August, David. We had, especially, our two signature parks, or our two parks that generate the most attendance, the most revenues for us, are Knott's Berry Farm in Orange County, California, and then Cedar Point here in Sandusky. And early in the year, in January, we had the mudslides in California. We fell over 100,000 guests behind the previous year. We were never really able to make that up. And here in Sandusky, for the first time, we really felt the effects of the economy with the automotive industry, and we found that attendance here was really slipping. And so what we did is here in Sandusky, to face the economy challenges, we issued a lot of discounts during the latter part of the season. We introduced a $9.95 child's price, a $9.95 senior citizen's price, and thankfully those came through for us. We brought more families out, and while we didn't have the year that we were hoping to have, at least we salvaged most of the year, and it turned out to be a fair year. Certainly not a great year, not a good year, but by our standards, it was a fair year.
Now, putting my investor hat on, is that at all problematic for our financials here in the next year or two? Usually I prefer that my companies, when I'm an investor, be raising their prices or show they have the opportunity to do that. Are margins going to get squeezed?
They might get hurt a little bit. Our admissions per capita might get hurt a little bit, David, but you don't take margins to the bank. And again, I think it's a chance to reintroduce Cedar Point to people. We're not only holding or lowering our front gate price, we're going to hold most of our food prices in the park. One of the things I told all of our general managers is I want to introduce at all of our Cedar Fair parks next year 25-cent cotton candy. If when you were a kid and you went to the fair or the circus, you got cotton candy and caramel apples and things like that. And what I've noticed the last few years is, in an effort to maybe increase margins too much in the park, our VPs and directors of food services went to more high-margin items that were easier to prepare because of labor costs and things like that, mm-hmm. and we concentrate more on pizzas and hamburgers. And the old tradition, at least that I grew up with, where you saw a kid walking around the Midway with a stick of cotton candy in his hand and a big smile on his face, sort of has disappeared. So what I've instructed all the general managers at Cedar Fair Parks to do is we're going to reintroduce 25-cent cotton candy, and hopefully we're going to see a lot of kids smiling on the midways next year, along with either reducing or holding our all prices in the park.
Mm. Dick,
but in answer to your question, it's certainly, David, it's a calculated risk, but it's not one that wasn't thoroughly thought out. And, when things are going bad, you can't just sit on your hands and say, well, they're going to get better. So we had to do something, and I think it's going to be a good decision for us. When we talk a year from now, if you invite me back to your show, we certainly can review it. But I certainly think that it's going to be the stimulus that Cedar Fair needs to really get the turnstiles turning again, as we did in the early 90s.
Hmm. To what extent would you say the amusement park business overall has been affected by higher gas prices? A lot, some, or overrated, not much at all?
No, I think it's been affected some. I think, David, that maybe it hasn't affected the attendance as much, but it certainly has impacted the discretionary spending within the parks. For the first time, we noticed at our parks that Every year our per capitas go up. You know, if nothing else in our games and merchandise, they usually go up, a nickel or something. And this year we suffered at all of our parks. So if it were just one park, I'd say, well, maybe we've got a marketing or a merchandising problem at one of the parks, or, you know, displaying it or something. But across the board, why our games per capitas were down and our merchandise per capitas were real soft. So I think that that has to do with the gas prices. There's only so much money to go around, and I think what people did is they came to the parks. You know, they're always going to have a Pepsi. They're always going to have something to eat. But they sort of slacked away a little bit from maybe buying a souvenir, and they certainly slacked away from playing games.
Mm. Looking at all your Cedar Fair parks, Dick Kinzel, what's the most popular Cedar Fair ride?
Oh, it has to be, I would say, the Millennium Force. That is the 300-foot roller coaster that we introduced, in the Millennium year. Mm-hmm. It has been voted the number one coaster since it was put in every year except one. It really is an exciting. Sometime I hope to get you on it, David, and you wouldn't have to. It really is. It's a tremendous ride. It's you go up 310 feet and you drop almost at a 90-degree angle, and it's over a mile of track, and it's non-thrill excitement from the time you get in the into the seat to the time you. You get off. Even the ascent to get you up to the top of the hill is accelerated, and it's a very, very exciting ride.
And that is at your Cedar Point spot.
That's it. Yeah, that's at the Cedar Point Park. Yes.
What's your favorite ride, Dick? Maybe that's the one you just.
Well, it is, David. It certainly for thrills that is, but for emotional and from the heart, why the Magnum XL 200, the first 200-foot coaster that we put in back in 1989, certainly will always be my favorite because of the chances we took with it and what that did to turn the company turn the company into the coaster capital of the world, or at least turn Cedar Point into the coaster capital of the world.
Hmm. Shares of Cedar Fair, the stock, again, ticker symbol FUN, have been on their own roller coaster ride over the last 3 years. You're well ahead of the market's return over these last 5 years. Last 3 years, the stock's kind of bouncing around, Dick. Any reflections on that?
No, the last 3 years, part of it was been sort of the economy, and then we've never really had, that big spike in attendance at either Cedar Point or Knott's Berry Farm that really, drive the EBITDA number up. Mm-hmm. And while we've been doing all right, certainly nothing that we're ashamed of or nothing that we're not proud of, but we really think that, we've got more in it than just this, and, again, that goes back to our new strategies of next year. But certainly, the thing that we're proud of is that we've been able to increase that distribution for 18 straight years. And we went public in 1987. And since that time, we've given over $1 billion back to our investors in the way of distributions. And so we've got a lot to be proud of. But, we just don't want to sit on our past laurels. We want to always be thinking, trying to stay ahead of the curve and to try to get those attendance numbers back up and increase that distribution even more.
You do have a lot to be proud of. The stock up 30 or more times in value, really, since you came public in the late 1980s. And that doesn't even speak to the dividends that you continue to pay. And we'll talk about that in a sec. This is the Motley Fool Radio Show from NPR. We're talking with Dick Kinzel, CEO of theme park company Cedar Fair. Dick, what is the biggest challenge for this company, your company, going forward?
We sort of feel that our industry has matured. There's major theme parks in every part of the country now. We have a lot of competition from the technology field. You probably saw that, Best Buy and Viacom, all their earnings were up this quarter, and they attributed a lot of that to televisions and indoor entertainment. Our challenge, which we're going to face next year in our advertising, is to get we know that the mothers are the decision makers, and we're going to concentrate on the mothers and give them a message to get their kids off their iPods and off out of that television and to get out and to get into some active entertainment and to hopefully come out and go to an amusement park rather than just sit at home and play on the computer or things like that.
So you said the mothers are the decision makers. I thought it was the kids.
No, we're married, so we know who makes the decisions. But, our surveys all indicate that at every park we have, that the decision maker to come to our parks is the mother. She's the one that makes the decision, and she determines when they're coming and when they're going.
Mm. Dick, when we spoke with you a few years ago, we asked you to share your dumbest business decision at that point. You talked about a roller coaster called the Disaster Transport. As I recall, it was a space-themed roller coaster.
Right.
And it was inside a building, maybe didn't really go anywhere. Dick Kinzel, we now want to give you a chance to share your smartest business decision from recent years, and feel free to compare and contrast it to the disaster transport.
Sure. Probably the smartest one, as I alluded to a little bit before, was the Magnum XL 200. That was the first 200-foot roller coaster that we put in back in 1989. And that, along with the Millennium Force, which was the first 300-foot coaster, those were probably the two smartest business decisions that that I ever made. And to go right along with that same theme, the disaster transport's been replaced with our first 400-foot coaster, which was the Top Thrill Dragster, and that's probably the worst business decision I ever made. So two out of three, I guess, isn't too bad. But disaster transport, and it was sort of a laughing type thing, because the year we put it in, we still had a great year financially, and so we could laugh a little bit about it. But with the Top Thrill Dragster, that was a $25 million roller coaster, and basically it just hasn't been worked up to our expectations, and it's taken 2 years for that, and hopefully next year I'll be able to reverse myself. But the way I feel right now, the worst decision we ever made was putting that coaster in. But you know, sometimes David, you have to roll the dice a little bit, and we certainly hit it high with two of the roller coasters, and we haven't been quite as successful with the 400-footer.
Straight talk from Dick Kinzel, the president, chairman, and CEO of Cedar Fair. Straight talk, something we like on the Motley Fool Radio Show. He joined us from Cedar Fair corporate headquarters in Sandusky, Ohio. Dick, thank you again for joining us on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be here, David. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Thank you.
And for more Fool Radio interviews, when you want to hear them, subscribe to the Motley Fool Profiles podcast. It's an audio file that's delivered to your computer or MP3 audio player. Just visit npr.org on the internet and click on NPR Podcasts to learn more.